clock has started. Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny. I think we got a little weird in last week's episode, so I want to keep it normal here. Welcome to another episode of the Good Stuff Morning Show on goodstuff.fm. It's it's Monday night again, and we're doing this yet again because Kenny needs to get out of here and won't be available for a live show on a Tuesday, which I don't think we've done in quite a while now.
That's okay.
It's fine.
It'll be just fine.
Follow up from some pre-show stuff. This is an article over on Geekology.com. Making a tiny cup of coffee with just a single bean. So go look at that. If you would like to subscribe to some pre-show stuff, we have a good 16 minutes of pre-show and post-show banter before this episode. Just ask on Twitter. I'll give you the RSS link because we used to have a way for you to be able to pay the show and now we don't. And then you can support other shows on the network, which is really awesome. And you can find out how to do that over at goodstuff.fm/support. That'll get you into it as well. But probably the easiest way is just to ask me on Twitter, but Dog Burps, that's my name. Don't wear it out. That's the game. It's full of
what sayings are you combining?
I don't know. Not sure, Kenny. I've got some follow up though. Something that we failed to cover, boy, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was on an episode about Twister, and I made not the movie, not the 1996 movie.
Oh, right.
I'm okay to go. Not that one. It was McDonald's. I made the supposition that McDonald's did not have curly fries. And somehow the moment I said that and the moment I found the image and showed you, the internet erupted in curly fries do exist. OMG. And got picked up everywhere. So I've got a feeling. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That some folks who work over at Pop Sugar, Refinery 29, et al., could potentially listen to the show. I need to know. I need to know now.
Please?
It's not a please thing. It is either we are connected via the universe in some unspeakable way, and what I think is then recreated in this other person's mind, and I need to find out how. Are you you're making fun of how I'm talking like a pizza? We're on video today.
You can't do
why
that.
Why?
No.
Tell me why I can't.
If we have Italian listeners, we've lost all of them now. All of them.
We talk enough about pizza. I feel like we'll still have them. It'll be fine. Don't worry.
It's like the Italian bat signal. They hear pizza mentioned and they just start listening. That's awful.
That is. I don't mind that though. Go ahead and write that one down. The Italian bat.
The Italian bat signal. Yeah.
Right. Boy, oh boy. So we started talking about McDonald's curly fries. There will be multiple links in the show notes, mainly to the McDonald's.wikia.com for Twister fries. You got to go look at it. They look real, real good. It's not, they're not as dark as what I would expect from curly fries.
They're not crispy.
They don't
look crispy.
They don't look crispy. See, McDonald's has this quality to their French fries. We've talked through pretty much every fast food French fry already, but McDonald's has this quality where the outside is incredibly crisp and the inside is
incredibly mush.
It's either like pure mush or air.
Yeah.
And
it's evaporated fries.
Yes. Which is great when you want that, but I just some of my favorite Twister fries, twisty spiraler fries, are the ones where it's just a single tube from the center of the potato that does not separate into a curl. It doesn't get all wiggly on you. It's just it is a single column about an inch in diameter of just pure fry. The longer, the better, obviously. It's fantastic.
Yeah. But is it crispy on the outside?
No, mildly. The inside is pure liquid potato.
Right. Curly mashed potatoes.
Mm-mm-mm.
Ooh. What? And other than KFC, yeah. Who does mashed potatoes?
I mean,
I guess I don't know if that's
hometown,
a fast,
like, is that
a
hometown fast, buffet
thing? Is that like a fast food thing? Has KFC ever put out like a mashed potato ice cream cone with like a deep fried cone with mashed potatoes on the inside and like a butter cheese topping? Yes,
that's got to be a thing.
That has to be a thing, right?
We I feel like we covered one of those things in our stadium food segment previously. One of the fries, though, if we're going to keep going on this Twister train, one of the fries that I have had, I guess maybe you would consider it a fry. Let me know what you think. It is an entire potato that has been spiralized from the top to bottom all the way to its core and then strung along a stick. And then you deep fry that entire potato into what would essentially be just a big spirally twisting potato on a stick. Is that a fry?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, I think that could still just be considered like a deep fried potato.
That's all the fries.
But you could call it like a deep fried cyclone potato.
Or something. I think it is a cyclone. I think that is the TM'd version of the potato.
Okay.
Well,
I didn't know that, and I just came up with it, so I should be on their marketing team.
I don't think you should. I mean, you
clearly.
You could. Oh, how am I going to get here? Hey, Kenny. Speaking of fries.
These are today's headlines.
Boy, have I got some news about some fries. Kenny, a woman reportedly becomes enraged after receiving an order of stale French fries.
Oh, no.
How enraged do you get when your fries are stale?
How enraged do I get? Well, by the time I realize they're stale, they're gone.
They're already in the stomach. Well, employees at a fast food restaurant in Minnesota say a woman sprayed them with mace during a dispute over fresh French fries.
Oh, my goodness.
According to the criminal complaint, police went to Wendy's Thursday afternoon after receiving a call about a disturbance, according to CBS Minneapolis. When police arrived, though, employees told them 25-year-old Iram Chanel Amir Dixon. Boy.
What a name.
It's a great name. Four names. Came through the drive-thru, ordered food, and asked that her French fries be fresh. Now, here's where things get feisty. During an ensuing argument, the employees said Dixon reached through the window. An employee then threw a soda at her. And then Dixon grabbed mace from her car and sprayed it through the drive-thru window, according to the employees.
Now, I understand what they mean that reached through the window, but it sounds like she bust her fist through a
plate
closed
glass window. Sure, yeah.
And it shattered onto the employee who had his soda grenade like cocked and ready. He pulled the straw out of his head of the drink and tossed it.
Oh my gosh. Does that exist? First of all, that sounds like that game, that zombie game where you're stuck in a mall. What was that game called?
Dead Rising.
Be sure.
Dead Rising.
They had two of them.
Yeah. Oh, there's actually been, I think, four now.
Okay. I'm obviously still living in 2008. That's okay.
You're also thinking of the movie Dawn of the Dead, the reboot in 2004.
I did see that in theaters.
Wow. Really? I saw that with a friend and my friend's family. They decided that Dawn of the Dead is a movie where you turn on the subtitles and then you just talk over the whole
that's
movie.
Those are my favorite. Those are my favorite movies. Usually they're foreign, though.
Definitely not my favorite Friends.
Yeah. That makes sense. Here's where first of all, totally roundabout way of saying there needs to be a game where you can throw grenades that are made of high fructose corn syrup onto other people and somehow immobilize them in like sticky
Call of Duty fast food warfare.
Okay. All right. We'll leave that there.
And
here's my problem with this, especially just with this article over at CBSnews.com. Every time they say mace, they put it with a capital M. And so my mind went immediately to Mace Windu, who is sitting next to this person as they drive through the drive-thru, and they say, "Listen, my friend Mace over here, if you don't give me those fresh fries," and then yes, maybe they misheard her. I'm not sure. Then he puts his purple lightsaber into action. And that's when she says, "Listen, I need these fries to be real fresh." Because what's your definition of fresh when it comes to a French fry?
When it comes to a French fry, I don't want heat lamp fries. Anything else I'll be good with, but heat lamp fries are kind of the worst.
Here's a secret. I'm going to let everyone in on this. This is something that I do, have done, and works quite literally every single time.
I know what you do.
Are you going to let me talk or?
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm prefacing this with, it's not a surprise to me.
But does it work?
I've never tried it.
Okay. That's the whole point here, Kenny.
Kenny doesn't have the cojones.
You got to do it. Listen, if you don't, something like this will happen. Go up. You can be either walking up to this place. It could be a sit down restaurant where you have a server come directly to your table and all you order are French fries, or you could be in a drive through situation, just like this one here. What you do, little secret here, what you do is you say, "Yes, I'd like French fries, please. No salt." And what that forces, now see, I've never worked in fast food, so maybe this won't work everywhere, but just a little caveat. What that does is it takes all of the fries that they have already pre-cooked and pre-salted, which are just about to be stuffed into bags and stuffed into your face, it takes those off the table. Now they have to make a whole new batch, more than likely, that will then accidentally get salted, and then they'll need to remake them again because it's a force of habit. And you know for sure that your fries are 100% fresh.
Okay, now let's cover just a couple things here. Number one,
by the way, we're still in the headlines, just letting you know.
Yeah, definitely. Number one, if you order no salt fries, you better hope that the person in front of you also didn't order no salt fries. Number two, and this is the most important, it might be salt free, but it's definitely not spit free.
You could tell. I mean, all you do is you ask if
you could tell
if you need salt.
You taste the spit before, Kyle?
Well, we were talking about me going to the dentist
before this show started. Right.
Would have been my own spit in that case. I don't feel like I need to really qualify any more of those statements. All I'm thinking here is that there could have been a better outcome here, and I'm sorry for everyone involved that they did not listen to this episode first, and will be more than likely facing charges.
Oh no!
I need you to move on to something that you showed me right after last week's show.
Kyle, Apple patented a pizza box for pizzas. That's right. Perhaps the true standout detail from the piece that is Apple is that it invented its own pizza box for its cafeteria because it obviously couldn't settle for what was already out there. Now, the container is more of a pizza circle than a pizza box, and it appears to be sized for personal pies. That's crazy, because what I'm going to tell you next kind of makes you want it to be just full-size pies. Wired says it is meant for letting employees take pizza from the cafeteria back to their desks.
Oh, yeah.
If I get to take a whole pizza back to my desk, it better be a large.
Okay, so right after this came out, there was a video. I can't remember where the video was. If I find it, I will put it in the show notes. But someone did an unboxing of the box. They unboxed the box. And
it can't be, but this can't be considered a pizza box, can it?
It is. It is two halves that close down into a vessel that can carry another thing inside of it. Just because it's not a square 90 degree angled box doesn't mean it's not a box.
Kind of does.
No, so I would say it houses probably a 12 inch pizza, which in most circumstances, and especially if you're talking about cafeteria pizza, that's not a personal pizza.
Correct.
And also, actually, can we also make the distinction cafeteria pizza? My mind immediately goes square. Does anyone else's?
It immediately goes square because when we were growing up in elementary school in the Valley, pizza day was you throw the best some day cheese. Of the week. You throw some cheese, some old pizza sauce, some gross pepperoni onto a tray, a rectangle tray of freezer dough. And then you say, all right, kids, we got pizza. And all the kids go, give me pizza.
Yep, that's right. So did you ever have to work the lunch line, though, when you
were? Oh, I totally had to do that, Kyle.
Why? Why would anyone? I had to take kids' money. Why would they ever entrust a child with taking other children's money and think it's going to go anywhere but the place it needs to go? Why?
Can I tell you a little story actually about that? I was in fifth grade, and in fifth grade, you volunteered to be on lunch duty, I guess.
Kinda.
You and three other students. Sorry, my mouth's all watery from the pizza.
should I? You need like a... Oh, I don't have it. Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
Okay. So me and three other students would leave class about half an hour early before lunch, and we'd go and we'd get our different stations that we would work in the cafeteria. One person was behind the line. One person.
Oh, now this is way. It came way too late. It came way too late. It started getting weird now.
One person would work the salad bar. Which, come on, guys. One person would work the accessories, like the lunch accessories line. And then one person would help take money.
What's a lunch accessory?
Let me tell you. You had chocolate bars. No. Chocolate brownies. You had cookies. You had chocolate milks. Regular milks. Just like a tray of... If your mom forgot to put a juice inside your lunch,
okay,
you could go for 50 cents. You could go buy a carton of milk. Or what eventually turned into, and if you're a longtime listener of the show, it turned into a bag of milk. Remember those?
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
Right.
See, in my lunch line, though, the one I worked at, it was money first, carton of milk, carton of milk second, then you grab a tray, and then you get back on that line.
So anyway, so I was working the lunchtime accessories, and they didn't give me any change to start with. And I think the first kid who came up to me gave me a $5 bill and was like, I want one carton of milk.
All in.
And I told him, I don't know how to do this.
Huh? Hey, by the way,
they just put me in charge of this and I don't know what I'm doing.
Simple math. Yeah.
So what I did, here's what I did.
Long division.
I told the kid, give me like 2 minutes and let's wait for more people to show up. with coins. And more people showed up with exact change. And I thought, well, that's not good. I need more people to give me like more money. Or I think I started to like haggle with people. I'm like, if you give me 75 cents, I'll give you two brownies. And they said, oh, OK. But really, the brownie, I was swindling them.
You got that lunchtime hustle. What?
And finally, I was able to give the guy who brought a $5 bill.
How long did you make him wait?
Oh, like 5 minutes. I told him, go sit back down. I'll come back. He was a third grader.
Oh my god.
I was
gosh,
in fifth grade. I could squash him.
Sure. I'm sure you could.
So at the end of the day, I think I had what they consider a changed drawer, which was just a plastic container full of old coins.
Did you work the entire lunch shift? What happened?
Oh yeah, I work. They make you work the entire lunch
shift.
You show up early. You show up early to eat your lunch, and then you work the lunchtime.
Oh, now it's all coming. You know, it's coming back.
So I had in my coin tray what I remember having was like two quarters, a dime, a button or something, and like a Canadian penny.
Ah.
Someone gave me one of those JFK 50 cent pieces.
Sure.
And I was like, I've never seen this. Is this real? Yeah. And they say, I guess it's, I think it's 50 cents. And I said,
they wanted to see, no, they do that because they want to make an impression on you. They want to make sure that, as a part of your tip, well, did you get any tips? First of all,
I didn't get any tips.
Yeah.
Other than I should have pocketed the button.
Okay. All right. But you didn't. I mean,
I don't know. This is a very fleeting memory. But things really went wrong.
The crazy part, though, is that I remember that whole time, too, was when they started doing those Susan B. Anthony dollar coins.
Oh, right.
Right? No.
Yeah. Wait.
Was it the Sacagawea dollar coins?
I think it was the Sacagawea, not Susan B. Anthony.
Okay. Which ones am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the Sacagawea.
Hold on.
That's how you have to type on your computer?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Kyle's reaching over his mic, like hugging his mic.
Oh, yeah. No. I never got a Susan B. Anthony one. The 1979 one was worth $2,000. So if you ever get one.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, at least here at the Hobby Chimp. I'm not making that up. I am not making that up. No, but OK, so they would do the Sacagawea coins. And you would end up like you would just end up with a pocket full of dollar coins. It was bad. It was really bad. And all the soda machines on campus had to now accept those dollar coins. They couldn't before. Their slots were too small. And now they do. Now they have to support those dollar coins. Where is this show going? Kenny, how do we get from pizza boxes at the apple tree to like lunchtime coin operations?
I don't know, but there's lunch, there's cheese on pizza.
There is cheese on pizza. And can I need to tell you about a 3-ton cheese recall? That's over. That is over.
A cheese call. A ricotta call.
A ricotta. A ricotta.
A ricotta.
You want to keep digging? You want to keep going?
No.
Okay. A Miami company is recalling.
I'm not very good at it.
Obviously.
Oh, what did you do? Slipped that right in.
Oh, no. Okay. All right.
I call that the lunchtime hustle.
Yeah, you do. Boy, I'm laughing.
Tell me about the cheese recall.
I'm a laugh till I'm blue in the face. Kenny, a Miami company is recalling 6,000 pounds of cheese from California. They're from California stores because of a possible bacterial contamination. A Food and Drug Administration news release says the affected Queso Duro Blando brand cheese. That can't be. It's got to be Blanco, right? Maybe it's Blando.
This is bland cheese.
Blando Calrissian and
Blando Calrissian
and Mace Windu walk into a fast food restaurant. Yeah, so this cheese is real bad. It could be contaminated with Listeria again, which is real bad. No illnesses have been reported, thankfully, but people, if you're anywhere in Florida and getting California cheese...
Nope, opposite.
If you're anywhere in California, you're getting Florida cheese. That's not... No, that's wrong.
No, it's not wrong. 6,000...
Oh, Miami company. So the cheese, hold on. The cows, which one do they ship? Do they ship the milk to Miami and then make the cheese and then it comes back to California?
I think it's pure cheese. I think they're shipping that quality product from Miami.
But where does the cheese is from California?
It'd be really funny if it turned out to be California cows send the milk to Miami, for processing.
Yeah. And for then, a vacation. They retire the cheese and then it comes back to California. So if this is a queso blanco thing going on, watch your nachos, people. Please be careful.
That's right. Also, watch this. No, I don't have
that's a, really bad.
Watch, I don't have a segue.
This is nacho segue.
Nacho. Kyle. Ancestry.com takes DNA ownership rights from customers and their relatives. Ooh, don't use Ancestry DNA testing service without actually reading the Ancestry.com terms of service and privacy policy, yo. According to its privacy policies, Ancestry.com takes ownership of your DNA forever.
Now this is over on medium.com by
which means some, it's legit,
which is totally real. It's from Medical Report, and they try and take a like terms of service / legal look into Ancestry.com DNA services. They basically say
let me get the provisions.
Okay. I didn't get all the way through this, so I don't know if it's legit. And if it is not, then blame me. But people, be careful.
Yeah. So there are three significant provisions in the Ancestry DNA privacy policy and TOS to consider on behalf of yourself and your genetic relatives. Here we go. Number one, the perpetual royalty-free worldwide license to use your DNA. Number two, the warning that DNA information may be used against, quote, you or a genetic relative. And number three, your waiver of legal rights
to your own DNA.
What you're doing, yeah, what you're doing is you're basically, you're not signing away your DNA and they're not owning your DNA, but they can basically use it scot-free without your consent. You're signing away your consent is what you're doing. And you don't really want to do that because the future is grim.
Is it though? I mean, come on. Ancestry.com.
Have you seen Sixth Day? Arnold Schwarzenegger has a clone of himself walking around stealing his wife. And the cloning company thought he was dead all along. And he's like, no, I'm not dead. It's my clone. Get out of my house.
Right. With his cookies and birthday cake. I understand. I understand.
I can't do it. I can't. I'm going to laugh too much. I can't say those words.
I understand the problem. Listen, I understand the problem here. But I mean, maybe all Ancestry.com is trying to do is create a DNA database so that once we're all gone, they'll bring us all back again. They'll bring clones back of our ancestors, which maybe has happened already.
Ooh.
And
who knows?
To recreate the problems of the past.
So what you're saying is Ancestry.com actually turns into the Matrix.
They're cataloging people for... maybe they're cloning people so that they'll write more terms of services that are more confusing. Mm. And this is more just for A/B testing. Like
you and I should do our DNA sequencing. We should go to 23andMe or some equivalent, and we should totally get our DNA sequenced and find out if we're really brothers.
That's a good. Should we go on like Maury or I feel like
Pyle, podcasters, you are not the brother.
Podcasters have been putting together over 350 episodes under the assumption that they are brothers. Also, I did not know Maury had this voice. They're about to find out whether or not they're actually brothers.
Tune in later when they star in WWE's Sunday Night Rumble.
It's the countdown to whether the brothers are finding out if they are actually brothers.
What I imagine actually is the set of Maury, and then the walls crumble, and then you see the huge arena audience. And the cage comes down, and Maury's like, "You guys are brothers. Don't do it." I don't know why Maury sounds like that either.
I think we just like wrestling. Maybe we need to go to a wrestling match instead of actually getting DNA tested.
You know what might be a wrestling match is another trip down to the SoCal to a certain special place, Kyle.
Kenny, really?
I tried. Really
bad segue.
But I really want to hear this story.
Well, ooh, here it comes. Get it? Because, yeah. Disneyland. Kenny has turned away hundreds of customers.
Oh, no.
So I didn't put any of the details in here. Let's see if you can guess why.
Because they're at capacity.
Oh, man.
What? Come on.
How'd you know?
The sensationalist, the only way you're going to get turned away.
It's a sensationalist headline here that I was trying
either you don't have tickets. Okay. You're naked.
Okay. All right.
Or they can't fit any more people onto Space Mountain.
Hold on. Shouldn't number one and number two pretty much be the same? If you're naked, where's your ticket?
You might have a ticket, but you forgot your clothes.
Oops. So it's in your hand then.
Oh, yeah. You carried the ticket with you on the tram. You were getting on the tram. People were like, I guess it's the thing to do.
It's one of those beta breakers things, right? Like it's, we don't know. We're supposed to go to LA. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Well, can I read the little details from this little blurb?
Sure. I was trying to trip you up, man. Oh. Look at you.
Okay. Hundreds of people were turned away at Disneyland on Saturday this past weekend, and the problem could continue Sunday. I guess it might have. Who knows? This is an article from Sunday. The park had a maximum capacity, and it was hit. The weekend is the last chance for SoCal residents pass holders to get into the park before the summer blackout dates. So all of LA was crashing down on Disneyland all at once. At one point, there was a 3-hour wait for rides like Space Mountain and Splash Mountain, both of which are not capitalized in this article. Guests could still be turned away again today or on Sunday as people try to get in their Disney fix before blackout dates. Who wrote this, by the way?
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
It also uses a photo from, I don't know when, maybe 10 years ago. It does not look like this anymore.
What I'm mostly curious about, has anyone ever stayed the entire night in Disneyland without being caught?
Without being caught? Like I'm sure they have.
Like a cat.
There was one guy who waited on Tom Sawyer's Island. This was back in like the 70s. And then I think he had to go to the bathroom or something like that.
See, that's all. That's the urban legend. I don't know if that's real.
Right? I do know. Well, I did stay. I mean, I did the grad night in Disneyland. Yeah, so I did kind of stay in there.
It doesn't count.
All right. That doesn't count. Okay, no, fine.
Doesn't count.
Then I don't know, because it's still a bustling place. They got to clean all the stuff at night.
Yep.
Does anybody listen who is currently a Disney staff member cast member and wants to talk to us about Disneyland? Because we'd love to have you on.
Yes, please. Kenny, today is also National Vanilla Pudding Day.
Gross.
May 22nd is the day we recognize National Vanilla Pudding Day. Enjoy it with a delicious dish of cold, creamy vanilla pudding.
Yeah, better than warm, chunky vanilla pudding. Uh-huh.
True.
Oh, God.
Kenny, actually, the puddings we enjoy as desserts today are not what was commonly known as a pudding in ancient dinner tables.
Oh, gee, don't say.
Most medieval puddings were meat-based and seasoned with herbs and spices.
Ooh.
Probably not including vanilla. I don't know how.
Well, vanilla is a spice.
It is, in fact, but I'm thinking like that, like you crack open that vanilla bean, you scrape out that good stuff.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
Dot FM. And then you make like a, I don't know, what would go well with vanilla?
That's your base ingredient?
Well, I'm trying to make a meat pie with vanilla. I'm trying to get some ancient vanilla pudding vibes going.
Cinnamon? Another spice?
Okay. Rice. That's still not meat.
I think we're just making rice pudding.
I think we're pretty much making rice pudding. That's fine. Here are some quick pudding facts then.
Where are you putting them?
I'm putting them right here in your ears. The Fortress Hotel in
Sri Lanka,
let's just say that, is charging $14,500 a serving for the world's most expensive pudding. And it is called Kenny. Wrong one. There we go. The Fortress Stilt Fisherman Indulgence.
I think Fisherman Indulgence is the wrong way to go with this one.
I don't know what's in the pudding. I don't know what they're putting in it, but it's probably really expensive. It's just gold pudding. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Pure gold. It's molten gold that you're supposed to eat.
That's like something you'd see. Have you seen those BuzzFeed videos? The guys who kind of, they do three tiers of food, the cheapest version, kind of a middle of the road version, and then the most expensive one they can find.
Yes.
They do like pizza. They did burritos. Mm-hmm, they did sushi. Mm-hmm. They should definitely do this. Should definitely do a pudding version.
Yeah.
So yeah. Cheap version, you get the snack pack at the grocery store. You can get six for like $2. The middle of the road, you go to a restaurant and they have like a pudding. And then you go to Sri Lanka and you get the 14 and a half grand pudding.
I think
a fisherman put a gold nugget inside of a bowl.
I think the bottom, like the real, real bottom is a home run pie.
Scooped out home run pie.
All you can do is suck out the filling. You have to put your tongue on the inside of a hollowed out home run pie. The only reason you're laughing is because you've done it.
But then like they sell it as an experience.
Yes.
You can't eat the shell.
Yeah.
Don't eat the shell.
You can just lick. You have to try and lick it without making it fall apart.
Someone please cut that out.
Only follow-up question I have on this pudding thing, this whole pudding thing. Do you have a specific temperature that you like your pudding at?
I like it cold.
Real cold.
Not ice cold.
Frozen pudding.
That's ice cream. That's basically ice cream.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much
ice cream. Or frozen yogurt, honestly.
No, I'm opening a frozen pudding store right next to my frozen yogurt store.
The ideal temperature is like you go out for a picnic and you bring some snack packs with you and you put an ice, like an ice pack
Here it is.
What?
It's the lunch line. The perfect temperature is the lunch line.
Oh my gosh. I remember I didn't talk about the salad bar, by the way. Salad bar?
What?
They had a bunch of different vegetable selections, and then they had like a vat of pudding and Jell-O. And you know what the kids went for? Every single person grabbed a spoonful of the red Jell-O.
Spoonful of Jell-O helps the salad go down.
No. And then one weird kid would just kind of grab a handful of the baby corn and just take it back to the table. Like that's what he would do. And he didn't use the spoon. He didn't put it on a plate. He would just like grab a handful because he knew he was the only one who liked the baby corn.
Oh no, trust me, bud. You're not the only one. I like it too.
And then you'd get the one kid who would follow his parents' orders and get just salad. And then you as the attendant.
That is not enough calories for a growing child.
you as the attendant had to wear the stupid plastic gloves that were way too big for your hands. And you just sat in a chair behind the salad bar saying, please don't make it dirty because I have to clean this up later.
Were you?
And it was, hold it on, was super sad.
Were you grabbing salad with your hands?
No. I had to like make sure that things were clean. But since you work in the lunch line, you can't use just your hands. You got to put the gloves on.
No, I know. You got that.
They weren't like, they're not like surgical gloves. They're like snap. They were like they're basically Ziploc bags on top of your fingers.
Kinda. Yeah. They have little perforated holes in them, I guess. So your hands don't get soggy. Yeah. I don't know.
Did.
Of course they did. Did you have to wear a hairnet for that real curly Ronald McDonald fro you got going?
I didn't have a real curly Ronald McDonald fro when I was in fifth grade.
You sure?
I had straight hair through sixth grade. And then in seventh grade, it all curled up.
Everything got curly. Mm-hmm. Kenny, remember last time we had a program like this, a podcast, some would call it like this. We talked about a real scary ride, a real creeper. We talked about that plunge. What was it called? The plunger?
The plunger? What?
The plunger. It was called something like that, right? The thing where it would plunge you like 100 feet into the ground, into this tube of water. And we were scared, right? We were real, real scared.
Okay.
So I've got another ride for you. This is a segment, I guess, maybe potentially, a possible segment called Scary Amusement Park Rides. And I want to feature one ride today. I don't have an intro for this.
All right.
Which is fine.
Ah! It'd just be us screaming.
Screaming. I do have one like that. You want me to see if I can find it?
Yeah, find the screaming segment bumper to play for our lovely listeners.
Perfect.
Cool. You just put a like a chain lift. Yeah. Chick, 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 chick.
It's kind of intense. It's kind of, I mean, it's fine. It's good. Here we go, Kenny. This one's called the Wave Breaker, the Rescue Coaster. This is coming June 2017. Coming up here soon, SeaWorld San Antonio's newest thrill ride launches you on an exciting adventure as you join the SeaWorld Rescue Team in their quest to help an animal in danger.
Let's not name the animal, though.
It's a porpoise.
Without a purpose.
So he's in danger. Go help him. Give him meaning to his life. Here's what
call
you
it,
do.
Call it Danger Dolphin or Dolphin Danger.
Danger Dolphin. Holy moly.
Call it something cool.
You
follow, Wave Breaker the Rescue Coaster? Come on.
You follow around a secret agent dolphin who is trying to solve the mystery of
the missing penguins,
the missing bottles. He's just
let's
got,
just say the dolphin wears a tuxedo and he holds a PP7.
No,
in a flipper.
No, that shouldn't that be like a killer whale? It's black and white already.
Killer whale is the that makes sense. But yeah. I think the killer whale would be like the enemy, like the villain.
They're not that bad. I think an octopus would be the villain.
Doc
octopus. Octopus-er. Straddling a jet ski style car, you race over the lake. Launching
SeaWorld?
Yes, this is Lake World, actually. Lake World San Antonio. Launching 60 feet into the air through banks and turns along 2,600 feet of track with a height limit of only 48 inches. This is sure to be a family favorite. And of course, I need you to look at this. So
yeah, I looked at it at the top of the article.
Here's what we're doing. We're trying to see whether or not you'd ride this and what kinds of problems you've got with this here ride. This is a visual thing, by the way. The link to this in particular, and also a link to what Kenny and I look like in real life, will be in the show notes.
What's funny is that you pulled a picture of, quote, us directly from a website that I used to visit on the daily when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
To memorize roller coaster facts. That's a little tidbit of Kenny you didn't know. Maybe you knew, Kyle, but our listeners had no idea that I was roller coaster fanatic when I was younger.
I'm trying to bubble these feelings back up, you know? We went back. We took the roller coaster of this program through your lunch line, and now we're where are we?
I don't know, but let's say, so you sit down, the lap restraint comes down between your legs, and then it gives you two handles, like a wave runner, to hold on to. That part looks fun. The part that doesn't necessarily sound so fun is that it's 60 feet in the air. That's it.
Hey, did we break SeaWorld?
Why?
I'm getting a 503.
Oh,
did I break SeaWorld?
Let me check. I'm getting nothing.
Okay, I got it. There we go.
Oh, no, there it goes.
It's back.
I guess people really, there was a high demand for tickets.
Well, this show's live right now, so that's got to be it. It's got to be why. Driving traffic again. Maybe it's the person who was looking at the Twisty Fries.
Gotta say, this is actually the first thing I've ever seen of a ride that's on a company website that has construction photos. Usually that's kind of saved for the fan websites.
People who are like peeking behind fences and.
Or you go up on other roller coasters and you can peek. Yeah, you can basically take pictures because you're so high up.
Mm-hmm.
They can't hide it. They can't hide all of it. But this looks super boring.
My main problem with this, and you'll see this with the picture of Kenny and I, is how you have to sit on these skidoos. They do not look comfortable at all. You're like leaning forward. I understand that, but half of the point of getting onto a roller coaster is to sit my butt down after being in line for an hour and a half and not have to worry about holding up my own weight. This is the exact antithesis of that feeling.
Okay.
And it goes over a lake.
Does it though?
The key image here at the top makes it look like you're blasting through water. Which doesn't look enticing to me. That doesn't look good. That lap restraint looks like it's about to cut off all your circulation. This just doesn't look good.
I mean, I guess what they have to do is in the construction, they can't really build inside water. So I think they drained some water out and then they are going to put water back
in the lake.
Well, I don't know, because absolutely none of this track goes over
water.
And it looks like it has two separate launches.
They're probably filling this up with some sort of muddy water situation. It's got to be like a pool, right?
It's something boring.
Something this that looks nice. Last question then for you. Where do you put the photograph point in this ride? Where's the picture taken? Do you have a special word for that? Where's the part where you take the picture?
The money shot?
Yeah, where's the money? Oh boy, where's that part?
I would guess. So it launches you. You go up to the 60-foot thing, and then it goes down and sharp left, and then a right, and then a sharp left again, bank turn, and then you go and you do another 180 into another like brake section, and then it launches you again, and it goes over a big one, and then you kind of bank down left. I would imagine that it's right there. That's where I would put it.
Right at that like quick bank, quick
the
turn.
The far right side of that overall picture right there.
Where the bushes are?
Bushes? No. No, the second construction photo.
The far right side
of the picture.
I was looking at the fourth one.
So right where it goes down. Wow.
Yeah.
That's where I would take it.
All right. Got it. Got it.
That's going to be the point when you're most scared, I guess.
That's probably true. Speaking of scared, I've got some fun facts for you.
Ooh.
Can I get maybe some water first?
Water?
Yeah. Just
go drink out of the Lake San Diego. Or sorry, not San Diego. San Antonio.
San Antonio. Lake good old Lake San Antonio. Home of the Skidoos.
Home of the Spurs who just lost.
That's right. Boo.
With Bono Ginobili.
Oh, boy.
Da-na-na. Da-na-na.
Nobody cares. Kenny, reindeer have golden eyes in summer and blue eyes in winter.
Uh-huh. I also read...
Boom, boom, boom.
I read the little note here. Do I dare boom, click boom, on this boom, link? Boom. I mean, it's nationalgeographic.com. Boom, 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 I guess I'll click on it. Ba-da! Oh. What? I guess if I didn't know that these were boom, boom, reindeer boom. Eyes... Why are you singing Goldeneye? Oh, because Goldeneye.
On the water, more than darkness in
how much,
the
how
depths.
Much of the song do you actually know?
See them surface through every shadow. On the wind, I feel his breath.
Goldeneye.
So I know that we really like the Nintendo 64 game, but do you really like that song too?
I do. I love it.
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch. Is that a fidget spinner? What's that?
It's a knife.
It looks like a fidget spinner. It's a deadly fidget spinner. Can we get back to these reindeer real quick? Because I do have something on that.
Goldeneye.
Thanks for letting me sing that, by the way. This is over at, this is just a fact for you, over at phenomena.nationalgeographic.com. Warning, there's a dissected reindeer eye.
Yeah, but if you looked at it and you didn't know that, you wouldn't be scared.
And you might think of track 12 of Running with Scissors, Weird Al's The Night Santa Went Crazy.
That's not Running with Scissors.
No, which album is it?
That's Bad Hair Day.
Bad Hair Day. Shoot. Look at me. Track 12, though. Last song in the album. Albuquerque is track 12 on Bad Hair Day. I have rectified.
Nope, Running with Scissors. I think we really are brothers.
I think we are. the entire internet, Kenny, weighs about the same as one large strawberry.
What? What does that mean? What do you mean weighs the same?
Okay, well, maybe you can understand it in these terms, Kenny. The entire internet weighs about the same as one medium-sized egg.
What? I'm much confused. What does this mean?
Okay, so the weight of all the electrons
explain
in motion.
Explain the physics of food.
This is according to Vsauce, a YouTube channel that did this in 2011. It's basically just 50 grams. That's what it is. 50 grams of electron movement being added up for the entire internet.
So the weight of all electrons in motion that make up the internet at any one moment is equivalent to 50 grams.
Yeah.
Which is the same as a large strawberry or an egg.
Bingo.
Okay, but I can't eat the internet. Can I?
Yep.
Okay, I'll do it.
You can.
You Food must Friday.
We eat the internet. Also, we'll just eat strawberries. They give me diarrhea.
I hope you have Garko for this next fact.
Yeah, I can get this one ready. You want me to get Garko ready for this one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I can't. Uh-oh. I can't. So here, I'm testing. We use Workflowy here, workflowy.com, or you can go to goodstuff.fm/support and go check out our link. You can get some stuff for free over there from Workflowy, but we use them every single day for our show notes here, and they are testing a Mac app that allows me to use their stuff offline, which is really nice. It used to be a Chrome app, and now they're migrating over to, ironically, Electron, which is a, like, web app porting thing, I think, that GitHub put together sort of thing.
Yeah.
You correct me if I'm wrong. It's fine.
I don't know anything. Anything.
Here's the actual thing, and I'll go for it. How about I just go for it? We don't need Garko's help.
I'd love to hear you go for it. Forget because I'm also going to go for it after you do it.
The technical name for an ice cream headache is sphenopalatine ganglioneuralgia.
That's pretty close. I'd say that's pretty much correct. I was going to say like Sphero Palpatine ganglio hernia or something like that.
That's pretty good. That's a, yeah, that's what it is.
That's thanks. About close.
Thanks.
Right?
Thanks, Garko.
You're welcome.
Do you still get ice cream headaches?
No, because I'm smart and I'm older. I'm an adult. I can eat a carton of ice cream and I will determine the correct pace within the first few bites and I can finish the whole thing. No headaches.
So since we're all super into life hacks about food today, do you have any ways of overcoming a sphenopalatine ganglioneuralgia?
A Palpatine headache?
Palatine. It's your palate. Get it? I'm not a doctor though.
Okay. I don't know if it is a possible remedy, but what if you had, and I know that you eat ice cream because you're warm and you're hot and you eat ice cream to cool down, but what if you had I don't want to say a warm glass of milk, but like a temperate glass of milk. If you had an ice cream headache and then you just drank some moderately tempered, milk,
like body temperature milk,
like that's hot though. That's hot.
Maybe
like room temperature.
Room temperature milk.
Room temperature milk.
It sounds disgusting.
To ease your ice cream headache or your Palpatine headache.
You don't think that would like shock you?
Yeah, I'm not. Mace Windu would know.
That's probably true. That is probably true. Boy. We got to blast through these, don't we? Maybe I shouldn't have chosen the longer version of that bumper, but hey. It's fine. Don't worry about it, Kenny. It's time for some upvote, downvote. Google Home. They've got a speaker that can now make phone calls.
No, it's just the Google Home.
It's the Google Home speaker that works the same way that it always has, but now it can make phone calls.
Now, can it, though?
Not yet.
Okay, so we have to wait still.
Yeah.
Okay, because that would be awesome. We should totally do a live demo of that when it becomes available.
Forever and ever, we will have you coming through my Google Home and into the studio.
Awesome.
I don't know what the call quality will be like. It says, though, that it can use a private number by default, or you can call out with your actual number. I want to use that as my private calling machine from now on.
Right. But I think what it should, what they should start with is just home to home, right? Google Home to Google Home calling.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely not. That is exactly what the Amazon Echo is doing. And that's idea. No.
I'm saying that should be like their alpha test or their beta test, like their stealth rollout or something like that.
Google has the infrastructure. They could do whatever they want.
That's true. That's true. I was just spitballing.
I'm upvoting this.
I'm upvoting this too because I'm super excited for it. I haven't had a home phone in like 10 years.
Speaking of fidget spinners, this is a fidget spinner app. This is over at businessinsider.com. A free app on the App Store for iOS. It's a literal picture of a fidget spinner, which is the new hot trend with the teens these days.
Uh-huh.
And you spin it for a number of times and you swipe on the screen.
Oh my gosh.
And you don't get any sensation. I don't know if it vibrates. Does it vibrate when you spin it?
Is this supposed to be like the this year's Pokemon Go? All the kids are doing it.
I've seen everything with these fidget spinners. While I will downvote this, I have seen spinners that go on top of the column for where your bicycle handlebars go. You know that little column that comes out from the fork of your bicycle and then you put your handlebars on it? Right on that top thing. A little top cap.
The fork of a bicycle.
Bike people.
It's bike people.
It's my bike subculture.
I have a spork on my bicycle. It's for when I go and eat pudding out of a dumpster.
It's just, it's like, or you're jumping, you're doing some sweet jumps in some dirt, maybe.
Oh, shut up.
And then you break your front teeth on your handlebars.
On my fidget spinner.
On your fidget spinner. You break your teeth on your fidget spinner.
It just goes and knocks him out.
It cuts out your entire mouth. Your dentist.
You want to know how I got these scars?
Your dentist isn't going to care whether or not you have a beard or not, third grader. He doesn't care at all.
That kid brought a Lincoln. He brought me a $5 bill.
I think he's just showing off. Personally, I think he's just showing off.
Probably. He probably had a Bulbasaur Pokemon card that he bought it with.
Goodness. Can you just downvote this and we can move on?
Downvote.
All right. And Google. Google has redesigned their emoji.
Good. Finally. Ugh.
So no more blob. No more blob. Like
deflated smileys.
Yeah, they did look deflated a little bit. I'd never made that connection.
It's like melted ice cream scoops on hot cement.
A little bit of milk.
A little bit of milk to make sure you don't get a Palpatine headache.
Mm-hmm. You gotta make sure. That's not gonna be the show title. I hate it. I hate it already.
Come on, Palpatine headache.
I like these emoji redesigns. They look good. There's some weird stuff going on with strokes and gradients, and it's sort of like a gradient overload. I still don't like this. I don't like that voice at all. I don't like it at all. So I'm gonna upvote it, and I don't really give a fidget what you think.
Issue order 66.
Whatever.
We will eat food.
He's stuck in the stadium.
Oh, that's where he's been.
Doing like announcing when we come on, when we come into the stadium, and when we need to ramp things up, get that cheer going. And look at some stadium food, Kenny. This one's from St. Paul. Another Minnesota food item here.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Minnesota
Saints. They're called the St. Paul Saints, actually, and they're a minor league baseball franchise, and they've got some food for us. Maybe I won't go through all eight of these, but here's what they say. Some of the other local teams, including the Twins and Vikings, have all gone upscale, healthy, and locally focused with their stadium food offerings, but the Saints are keeping it real.
That's weird to call them the Saints, because there's a football team called the Saints for like a different reason than being called St. Paul. They should just be called the Pauls.
The Pauls. Why? We only have people named Paul on our team, unfortunately.
This is baseball, right?
Baseball, actually.
Paul's balls.
It's not. No. No way. Maybe if that was one of like fried macaroni and cheese balls.
All right, here, I'm gonna go ahead and do really quick
these eight for me, please.
Street tacos with the smoked brisket and chicken carnitas or blackened fish. Number two, vegetarian taco mix lettuce wrap. Okay. Man. Number three, deep fried apple pie. Yes, please. Number four, wild rice battered smoked turkey leg.
Pause. What is that?
What is wild rice battered?
I have no idea, but I've never had you could do maybe rice flour, but if they put actual literal rice into the batter, I have no idea what that would taste like.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Number five, Jumpin' Jack Flash Burger.
Boom.
Jumpin' Jack Flash. Number six, Donut Hot Dog. That sounds super boring.
What?
And also, it looks gross. It's just a bad photo. I think instead of a regular hot dog bun, they just use a donut. The the long ones.
Hurry up and get to the next one, because that's okay. The one I have the most questions about.
Uh-oh. It's pictured squishily. The tater tot hot dish burger.
Okay, so that's the... Okay, maybe it wasn't the one I was talking about. That's the one at the top. That's the tater tot.
That's the one at the top. Yes. Yeah. It's like...
It's got peas! Why are there peas?
Yeah, why are there peas on the burger? It's like a slider with tater tots on it, melty cheese, but then all of a sudden you got peas on it.
Surprise.
That's a very English thing to do.
I don't want any of that.
Number eight, weird one, giant cheese curd kebab with bratwurst.
Okay, can you tell me what's going on with this image?
It's like they got a burnt hot dog, they cut it in half, yes, and put a fried cheese curd in between the two halves on a stick.
Yeah, so first of all, I need you to appreciate my list thing here. I said presenting eight new food offerings ranking from best to worst.
I see that. Worst, like bratwurst, because yeah, it is the worst.
It's the number eight, and it is the worst. Giant cheese curd. Is the only question we got to get here, and I'll bring us here to the end. Is this bratwurst going through the curd?
I don't think so. I think it breaks for the curd.
So you break the link, you put the curd on the middle.
I think so.
There's some ketchup on there too.
You present it though as though it is kind of like an arrow through the head deal.
Like a sausage through the head. That's right.
Sausage through the head.
This, of course, has been the Good Stuff Morning Show on goodstuff.fm. You know where to go. Just go to the website. Follow Kenny on Twitter. Just go look at that stuff, would you? We'll be back again next week. I don't know what time. We'll be back with another episode. I'm sorry, by the way. I'm sorry if all these episodes filled up your feed if you're on Overcast. I don't know what happened. We're looking into it. Let us know if that happened to you. But until then,
they're all have a great week. It's versions.
Great. They're great. Download them again. They're really good episodes. We love you. Goodbye. We'll be right back.